24 and verse 49. We're going to get back into our Bible study. We started last week. Y'all remember what we started the Bible study on? Yep, the power of Pentecost. What is the power of Pentecost? Somebody besides Brenna tell me. What is the power of Pentecost? Somebody tell me. That's what I just asked you. What is it? Power. I'll let you fill in the blank. The power of the what? The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. That's exactly right. And that's what we're talking about. That is power that you can't come up with on your own. There's a lot of people in this day and time trying to manufacture holiness, trying to manufacture power, trying to pretend as if they have power when in fact they're powerless. And we're going to talk tonight, we're going to continue our study on the power of Pentecost. And this is part two, and it is on what we studied last week, which is the lost secret. The lost secret. The lost secret's power. Churches are powerless. Churches ain't getting anything done. Churches are printing literature. Churches are putting on productions. Churches look like they got a name that they liveth, but they're dead on the inside. And churches are people. Understand that. Churches are made up. Churches are not buildings. Churches are lives. Where are you going? Hurry. Churches are made up of lives, of people, souls, and us. I mean, that's us. We make up this church. When you say, where is Faith Baptist Church? Faith Baptist Church does not reside on this corner. Tonight, here in about an hour and 10 minutes or hour or however long, when I get done, I maybe 45 minutes, depends on how easy you listen or how hard it is to teach this to you tonight. But whenever we get done and we turn the lights off and we shut the sound system down and we all walk out and we close the doors, Faith Baptist Church ain't here anymore. Now people will drive by and say, hey, there's Faith Baptist Church, but they're wrong. Faith Baptist Church does not live here. Faith Baptist Church meets here. This is where Faith Baptist Church meets. Sometimes Faith Baptist Church meets at Parish Nursing Home. Amen? That is just as much Faith Baptist Church over there as it is Faith Baptist Church over here. Amen? If we decided to meet Wade's Park, Faith Baptist Church would be over there. Amen? If we all show up at Brahms, Faith Baptist Church is meeting there. Amen? But the point is, Faith Baptist Church can meet and not have the power of God. If Faith Baptist Church meets without the power of God, then Faith Baptist Church has missed the point. Amen? I want to read three verses. I want you to follow in your Bible. You won't have to cover too much ground to follow me tonight. Luke 24, 49. Bible says, and behold, this is Jesus talking, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye, y'all know what tarry means? It means wait. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. You won't get that power any other place than from God. Endued means filled. Amen? Listen, I'm telling you right now, I stood in line in many a restaurant to get filled with food. Amen? I remember when Sam's Southern Eatery over here opened. Amen? Hey, the place where they got all the jumbo shrimp and all that stuff. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I stood in line for a long time. We stood in line for 45 minutes the first time we went in there, I think, just to eat some fish and some shrimp. But you know what? I don't know the last time I've seen anybody down at the altar for 45 minutes. I can't tell you the last time that I saw anybody, I mean, well, I guess I can, but really weeping over their over God not giving them power in their life. I mean, I've seen people weep over sin, I think. I don't know for sure, but it seems as though that's what they were grieving over. But God's power, listen to me, it's not, look up here. Let me tell you something. It is not enough just to come and say, God, forgive me of my sins and go sit back down. Because, listen, when you get empty, you say, oh, God, please forgive me and cleanse me. Okay? Let's just use it. We're vessels, right? Okay. I wish I had a cup up here where I could show you this, but I don't have a cup. Yeah, I do. It's full of pens, though. That'll even make it better. See, this got all kinds of stuff in it. Look here. This is a cup. A red solo cup or a red some kind of cup. All right? It's a red. I don't think it's solo, but anyway, it's a red cup. I think it's a hefty, but anyway. Now, this cup right here, you could fill it up with iced tea. But you wouldn't want to do it with all them pins in there. Now, you say, I wouldn't use that. I'd go get a clean one. Well, if this was the only cup that was available and you were thirsty, you could take these pins and get rid of them. And, I mean, it's not even dirty. There's not a mark of ink in the bottom. But you know what? You'd want to clean this cup, wouldn't you? And you need to take that cup and fill it, amen? Look here, this is us. This is the sin that's in our life. We come to the altar and we say, Lord, please forgive me. And we go back and sit down empty. You know what happens? We go right back. And we get right back to the fill with the same stuff. We'll come back next week. Oh, God, forgive me. We'll go back down, sit down empty. By the next week, still the same stuff. The problem is we're not getting filled with what God intended for us to be filled with. That's why we're coming back filled with the world. God intended for us to be filled with His power. God never intended for us to be filled. God never intended for Christian life to be filled with the world. Amen. I hope you got that. I hope you've seen that. And it made sense to you. Amen. He said, He told them, listen, that's the early New Testament church. Yes, but they're still people just like me and you. They're no different. They were the first Christians. They're still people just like me and you. They got up in the morning, they went to bed at night. They ate food in the middle, amen? They're people. They got their hair cut. They bought new clothes. I mean, they were people just like me and you, amen? Their shoes wore, they had to go to the shoe store, amen? We picture people back in the early Bible times as living in the Stone Ages. That ain't the way it was, amen? They were normal people, amen? They lived in a different culture, in a different climate, in a different place, a different part of the world. Yes, they had different customs, but they still were normal people just like me and you. That's something you've got to realize. You've got to get this image, and I'm getting off my subject tonight, and you have to forgive me for doing that, but you've got to get that image out of your head, and I don't know if you've got it in your head, but I had it in my head, that everybody's running around in an ox cart, so it's like the Flintstones over there or something. That's not the way it was in the Bible times. Amen? These were people with real issues and real problems just like you and I have every day. And God said, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. He wanted them. Look, they weren't just sitting at the house in the city of Jerusalem either. They were at the church house. You say, what was the church house? It was the upper room where they'd had their last supper with Jesus. It was where they'd sat and they had supped and they'd taken the cup and the unleavened bread and where he'd washed their feet. It was that same room where they met. That's where they were meeting. That was the very original church. That was the first church and where it met. Amen? Somebody said, well, when did the church start? Well, Jesus and his disciples was up there. They was having the Last Supper, Lord's Supper. I figured they was having church up there then. Amen? Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. He was talking about himself. Church didn't start on the day of Pentecost. Church was already in motion. Amen. He said, wait there until... You know what he's saying there? Because he was going back to heaven and he wouldn't be there to lead them. And he did not want them to run off and scatter. He wanted them to stay together. Until what? Until ye be endued with power from on high. He had promised them, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send you another comforter. The Holy Ghost of God. And he came to empower them to serve him. He said, it comes from on high. You won't get it anywhere else. You wait and I'll give you the power. So you got to go to him to get it. So while you're down here, and I've noticed some people never come to the altar. I don't know why. Maybe it hurts your knees to bend. Maybe you pray right there where you're sitting. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you do it. But I can tell you this. If all you ever do is say, Lord, just forgive me my sins, you're not getting it. You need to say, Lord, I need your power now. Now that I've been cleansed, now that I'm clean, now that I'm a vessel fit for your honor, Lord, fill me with your power and use me for your glory. Now turn to Acts 1:8. We read this last week. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It ain't that far to go. Tell me when you find it. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. All right. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, but ye shall receive what? Power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Didn't he say wait until you have that? Huh? And that's what he said in Luke 24? Wait until you be endued with power from on high. That power was the Holy Ghost. He said after you... You'll receive power after he comes upon you. In other words, after he endues you with that power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what's going to happen next once you have that power? You'll be witnesses. Because that power is there for witnessing. That power is there to give you boldness to speak up for Christ. I want you to understand something. Now, I know just a few of us in here. But there's others who will listen to this because we're going to have it out there in the foyer. And who knows, we may upload it somewhere. But I want to tell you tonight that it is not my job to do your witnessing. I'm talking about everybody in here. I'm talking about every soul in here. It is not my job to do your witnessing for you. It is not the preacher's job to do the witnessing in the church. Do I do that? Absolutely. So when do you do? Hey, I'm gonna tell you something. I've been on TV for the last 5 years presenting the gospel. I'll go on the radio tomorrow night and we'll present the gospel. Amen. If God gives me an opportunity to talk to somebody, I'll talk to them. Amen. Listen to me. I have witnessed. Ain't no telling how many people. Should I be witnessing to more people? Absolutely. Do I get convicted about it? You betcha. Amen. Now, all of us ought to be convicted about it. We ought to all be burdened down with lost people. It ought to trouble us that people are dying going to hell all around us and we're letting them slip right into hell. It ought to cause us to stay up at night and not be able to sleep thinking about them dying and going to hell. Amen. We ought to sit and chew our nails and wonder if our neighbor's going to hell. And then we ought to go take the gospel tract and put it on their door. But we ought to go and talk to them and ask them if they go to church and tell them about Christ. He said, you receive power. He said, I don't like to do that. Well, you're not getting the power. You're not getting the power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be witnesses. The power is there to witness. He said, witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that's where we come in. We're not in Jerusalem, we're not in Judea, and we're not in Samaria. We are beyond that. The gospel has traveled beyond that. We are in our neck of the woods, which is the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Acts 4, turn over there. Acts 4:33. Did the apostles get the power that was promised to them? Well, we'll see. Acts 4:33, the Bible says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." That's what the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for sinners, was buried, and rose again. If he's still in the grave, there's no gospel. That's why this Sunday we're going to celebrate his resurrection. Because if he didn't come out of the grave, it's all worthless. I mean, everything we're doing is worthless. We might as well be home, eating supper, watching TV if he didn't come out of the grave. I mean, we might as well just waste our lives because there's no point in living if he didn't come out of the grave. Amen? That's why people waste their lives, because they don't believe he came out of the grave. That's why people throw their life away, because they see no point in living. It's cheap to them because they don't believe he came out of the grave. Amen? "With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." You see that? Great grace. Grace, that's the unmerited favor of God. You don't deserve it. God just gives you his grace. So how do I get that grace? Well, you got to get that power first. And you have to do what he asks you to do. And he'll show up and he'll give you grace. Amen? He'll give you grace when people laugh at you. He'll give you grace when people want to mock you and make fun of you. He'll give you grace when people want to argue. He'll give you grace when people just want to cause you problems. God will give you grace. But without this power, you see, we're powerless. And we're just, it's just functioning. It's like, again, I said before, it's like somebody got a brand new Ferrari, but it ain't got no motor in it. And all they do is sit behind the wheel and go, boom, boom, boom. Look at my car, boom, boom. I mean, what's the point? What's the point of having a $150,000 car with no motor that won't go anywhere? It looks good, but it don't do nothing. And that's all church is for the most part anymore. It looks good, but it don't do nothing. Hey, I'm telling the truth tonight, whether you like it or not. How different, number one tonight, how different is modern Christianity from the way it was back when the apostles were on earth? Let me make this statement to you tonight. Christianity is a Bible religion. It reached its fullest revelation and development right there in the New Testament. I mean, it got to its height right there in the New Testament. And Christianity is not true Christianity. It's not complete Christianity if it does not reproduce the same salvation, the same joy, the same power, the same victory over sin, and the progress and making of converts just like they did in the New Testament. If it doesn't work like that, it is not true Christianity. You understand what I'm saying? It's supposed to function a certain way. And if it ain't functioning that way, then it ain't real. I mean, we're here to reproduce Bible Christianity in our lifetime. That's why we're here. We'd have to concede and say God lost some power somewhere. Are we willing to say that? God has lost power. Well, of course he hasn't. Then what worked then will work now. We have to either own up to one or the other. Amen. I hate to hit you with all these cold hard facts tonight. I know it's a Wednesday night and we're not really got a full house. Only a few of us here. He's like, man, you dumping the whole load out and ain't but a few cows. Amen. Dumping all the feed sacks out. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm going to pour the whole load of feed out, even if only a few cows here. Amen. I mean, you're going to founder on it or whatever, but I'm gonna dump it out. We ought to see, in this day and time that we're living in, the same kind of results that they produced in the New Testament. And I got proof to back it. I got a proof text to back that up. What did Paul say in 2 Timothy 2:2? And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Don't change it. The same. The same. You reproduce the same. Amen? I like heirloom variety vegetables. I've got my plants going right now. I got my seedlings started. My tomato plants are that tall, Alice. Amen. I'm excited. I go out there, look under the grow lights every day and see how tall my little seedlings are. Amen. Everything I grow is an heirloom variety, which means it's the same tomato plant that somebody grew 100 years ago. It's not no nothing. They made it new and more efficient and more modern. It's the same. It's why it tastes good like the ones used to. Because it's the same. Ain't changed nothing. It's still got good, juicy, acidic tomato flavor. It's a homegrown tomato. Why? Because it's the same one they used to grow. Amen. Y'all get excited about that. Make good fried green tomatoes. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. There's still power in that same Christianity. Amen? And if we get a hold of it, we'd experience it. A life that does not have the power that the New Testament Christians had is off-color and inadequate Christianity. It ain't the real deal. Amen? And the same thing goes for preachers, and the same thing goes for churches. If we don't have the power of God, we might as well quit. Or we might as well get it. Amen? Let's look at what happened at Pentecost for a minute. Okay? In Acts 1:14. Let's look at it real quick. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Look at it. Let's look at the chain of events and what happened. Verse 14 said, "These all," and that's those that Jesus told to wait, "these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." What does that mean? In one accord, they were all of the same like-mindedness. They were all in agreement in prayer. They were all praying for the same thing. They all had the same hunger. They all had the same desire. They weren't all, some of them wasn't twiddling their thumbs and thinking about other stuff and not really caring about what's going on in the church. There weren't any others who were worried about whether or not somebody was looking at them or paid them enough attention. There wasn't none of them in there that were there just to gossip and talk and carry on. There weren't some there that were there to see if they could get anything out of anybody. They were there for one reason, and that was because God had saved their souls from hell, and they loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and they wanted others to know that Christ died for them too. Prayer and supplication. That's praying, and that's going beyond praying a little and praying a lot with urgency. And they kept doing it. They continued. They kept on and kept on and kept. Are churches in one accord today? Think about it. Do you think most churches are in one accord? They're in discord. Now look at Acts chapter 2, verse 6. In Acts chapter 2, verse 6. Let me turn over there so I can follow right along with you. I got the verses on my page here. Acts chapter 2 and verse 6. The Bible says, "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded." Now what was this? This, when this was noised abroad. What was that? What was noised abroad? Well, look in verse 4. The Bible says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The Spirit of God empowered them to witness to people that spoke other languages. There was people there from everywhere on earth at that time who were Jews, and they all spoke different languages and different dialects. They didn't all of them speak the languages of the early New Testament church. And so they went down there with power on them, the power of God. It wasn't them, it was God. And He was all over them. And they went down there and they began to speak with them people. And then people heard them in their own language. God did it. They didn't get a tangle and fall out and shake and flop around. Somebody said, "What's going on here?" No. They went down there and spoke. They preached Christ. They preached His death, burial, and resurrection. And then people heard it clearly. They didn't hear, no, they heard the gospel in their own language. And when people started hearing about that, the multitude came together and said, "What in the world is going on here?" Well, who was the multitude? Those were the ones who hadn't believed yet. Those were people that were still lost and they didn't understand what's happening here. They were amazed. Listen, let me tell you something. If the church ever got the power of God, or if the multitude today would say, "What's going on?" Listen, they had never seen power like that before. The only way they'd ever seen power was with Jesus. But Jesus was gone. They'd done killed Him. They done got rid of Him. And now these people, where's this power coming from? He's gone. That guy, we got rid of him. We crucified him. We hung him on a cross. He's dead and gone. How did they get this power? What is going on here? People getting saved. Look up here, son. Ain't through. Let me ask you something. Do we have power like that? Do we have power like that? Do we have power like that on us today? Do you see that happening in churches around you? I'm not talking about just speaking in tongues. I'm talking about the power of God, a moving of God. Yes, I heard of a revival out in Georgia that's been going on for 7 weeks. Yes, 71 saved. But that's one church. I ain't heard about it everywhere else. Now look at Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, hey, what did they hear? They heard a man of God preach with power. He preached Jesus with power. Same power Jesus promised would come if they waited on it, if they waited for it. Amen? If they got in one accord and waited for it and waited on it. You say, "What do you mean waited?" They were seeking it. They were praying for it. They were begging God. They were earnestly seeking God's power. They were emptying themselves and they were begging God to fill them and control them and use them and give them power. They begged for it and God gave it. And Peter had it on him. Just a couple of days before this, Peter was out there Peter had gave up, and Peter was out there in a fishing boat, naked fishing, and Jesus reclaimed him, called him back, and said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And he said, "I love you, Lord, you know I love you." "Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep." "Peter, lovest thou me? Lord, you know I love you, you know." He said, "Feed my lamb." And so here's Peter. He got the power back. Peter got the power back. Peter preached Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. You see, it wasn't Peter's preaching that pricked them in their hearts. It was the power of God moving through Peter. It was Holy Ghost conviction that comes from a preacher being filled with God's power. And it came through and it pricked their hearts. And they and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do?" Well, I ain't got time to go into what he told them. He told them, repent, though. Repent. You come to Christ. You turn from your wickedness and you come to Christ. Now look at verse 41. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word. What do you reckon means when it said they gladly received his word? I believe it means they got saved, don't you? Amen. They gladly received. Hey, he told them that they crucified Jesus. And he told them to repent. And they gladly received his word because they believed on Christ. That's where the gladness came in. They that gladly received his word, what happened next? They were baptized. That's what happens when somebody gets saved. They want to get baptized to identify themselves with their risen Savior. And the same day there were added unto them, unto that church, about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people joined the first church at Jerusalem. This was a church of 120 people. That's men and women, 120 people. I know we're a small church, but listen to me. That was in the whole city of Jerusalem, one church. In the whole world, there was one church. That's the only church that existed in the entire world. 120 people. And in one day, they saw a revival happen. And over, it wasn't a revival, it was salvation. But about 3,000 people joined that church in one day. Well, not joined that church, they went to other places. I don't know how many actually joined that church. That's not the point. But they went out from them, believers, out into the world and carried the gospel message. Amen? They went to other Jews and began, I guarantee you, they went and witnessed. Now listen to me. You think we're finished getting the gospel to Paris? Of course not. There's people dying going to hell all around us. There's people dying in this neighborhood going to hell. Amen. You say, well, the preacher can do it. No. Acts 8, 5 through 8. The Bible, I'll just read it to you. Then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord, there's that one accord again, the people of Samaria with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of the many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. How did that happen? How did all these people get saved and all these people get well and all this stuff happen and these evil spirits come out of these people? I tell you how. Because the power of God did it. It wasn't Philip. The power of God can do anything. He has power over all principalities and powers. He is the ultimate power. He has all power. He's able to do all things. But we stand in his way because our vessel's filthy. It's full of us. In Acts 7, Stephen preached. In Acts 7, verse 51, and then 54 and 55. Stephen preached. He said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears. Your heart's stiff, your neck's stiff. You can't hear, you don't listen, you don't feel it, you don't care. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Oh, it means that hurt their pride, man. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. It made them so mad, they went into a frenzy and started biting this man. Started biting him like wild animals. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He stood and preached, and these were the big wigs. These were the big shots. These were the highest. This would be like having Joel Osteen and T.D. Jakes and Benny Hinn and all them guys all lined up, and I mean just preach the truth and have them all run at you, biting on you. Amen. But you know what? He knew it meant his death. He knew he was going to die, and he still did it anyway. And most of us just pray to somebody not liking us. and rejecting us if we talk for Jesus. That's how powerless we are. He had so much power on him. He said, you know what? Hey, if it means my death, so be it. I'm going to do this for God's sake. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to preach for Jesus' sake. Philippians 4:13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can witness. I can tell my neighbors. I can tell my kinfolks that Jesus died for their sin. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Romans 15:29, the Bible says, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness and blessing of the gospel of Christ. See, Paul, when he came to preach somewhere, he said, hey, I know that when I come, hey, I'm going to come in the fullness and the blessing of the gospel of Christ. He knew he wasn't coming timidly to preach. He was coming in the power of God. He knew the power of God rested on him because daily he emptied himself and asked God to fill him with power. 2 Corinthians 2:14, he said, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Listen to me. Everywhere he went, there was triumph and victory. He said always, he always causes us to triumph. We don't fail. You know what? That's a man confident in what God can do. Do you know why we are... Brother King, you ever had a lawnmower just wouldn't start? You ever had a lawnmower you tried to work on, no matter what you tried to do, that sucker just wouldn't work? After a while, you just don't want to pull the cord anymore because you know it ain't going to start. What's the use in pulling the cord? It ain't going to start. I mean, you get tired of fooling with it, amen? And I think that's the way Christians are. It's just so much effort to stay right with God. We don't even pull the cord anymore. That's just... Oh, it's just so hard to live a Christian life. It's just so hard to stay right with God. We don't even try anymore. We're in the Laodicean church age, folks. Lukewarm, don't care. Indifferent. Ain't going to get nothing done. Jesus is coming, we'll just wait on him. Tell you right now, we better get to witnessing, folks. Folks are going to die and go to hell. And you'll never have a chance to get them out of hell. Amen? I have a lot more I want to share with you tonight, but I don't have time. Amen? I don't run out of time. I don't run out of my hour, and I'm not going to keep going because I'll be here another hour trying to preach what I need to preach tonight. I just want to say to you tonight that God, he ain't lost his power. He ain't changed. The power's there. We just gonna have to go for it. We're gonna have to go back and we've got to empty ourselves. I just wonder. I'll be honest with you tonight. I'm not that I would lie to you anyway, but that's just a term we use. But I want to speak from my heart. That's what I should say. The hardest thing for me to do is to stay close to God. It's hard. Unless I am doing his business. If I am doing his business, I don't have time to do the things that draw me away from him. If I am just doing my thing and trying to stay right with God, it's miserable. I can't do nothing. But if I set out to do his business and I stay focused on his business, I'm saying if I stay in my Bible looking for stuff to teach on and preach on, if I'm constantly preparing for something, if I'm always interested in researching and digging and searching for something, then I don't have any problem staying right with God. I don't have any problem having power of God in my life. You know, that's why when we go to camp meeting, we're there all week long. They're all around us. All you hear about is the Lord. That's all. I mean, every song that's sung, every word that's spoken, every conversation that's had is all about the Lord. There's no time, there's no effort given to anything fleshly. And so you stay quarantined from fleshliness, worldliness, long enough, it becomes easy to have the fire of God in your life. But what happens is, we're so about this world, we don't even know it. We don't even realize how given over to this world we've become. And we're trying to stay on that plateau. We try to get up on that plateau with God, and we try to stay there. But we can't stay there because our lives become consumed with self and flesh and stuff that should not matter. We let things like jealousy and greed and worry and covetousness and fleshness, lusts, and all those things. We let all that stuff creep in, and it brings us down to the point to where we're full. We're full of junk. And again, we come up here, we hear a good sermon, touches our heart. Oh God, forgive me. When we're serious, we mean it. But we go back and we sit down empty. And we don't get full of anything that replaces all that. So we go back to another week. And, you know, something happens, somebody comes by, somebody says something, somebody gets us involved in something. A little something gets involved in our life, shouldn't be there. Well, now we feel like, oh, I don't want to talk to God today. You know, I let this thing creep into my life. I'm ashamed. I shouldn't have done that. I know better. And instead of going to God right then, oh, I'll get rid of that. I'll get right with that at church. And then it doesn't take long before we give ourselves back over to the same old stuff that was there before. And we come right back up here with that load of sin again. Process that we go through every week. And we're not getting anywhere. We're not getting full of what God intended for us to be full of. Listen to me. If you'll get rid of this, and you'll get full of what God intends for you to be full of, you can take that, and you find somebody who doesn't know God, and you take it and you pour it out to him. And he gets what you have from God, and God's able to work in his life. You say, well, what if he does? He get that? I don't know if he gets saved or not. Maybe he gets saved. Maybe you're just a blessing to him. But you get a blessing in return. You see, when you're a blessing to somebody else, you get a blessing in return. And you know what? You want to go back and get under that spout and get some more from God. You go back to your Bible. You go back to the place of prayer. You go back. Oh God, please, I want to do that again. And so you get full. And so, hey, guess what? This stuff don't go back in here. Somebody tries to bring you something. You say, oh, no, I ain't got room for that. I'm full of what God's given me. I don't want to have anything to do with that. So I'm going to take this, and I'm going to give it to somebody else. I'm going to pour it out to somebody else. And, oh, Lord, I want some more. And you know what? You come back in here Sunday, and you don't have to run to the altar and get rid of all this because you know what? You done got rid of this. Instead, you can rejoice with the people of God, and it is contagious to others. And then others begin to get what you've got. And before long, the church is in one accord, and revival breaks out. That's how it happens. But if you go back and are satisfied to put it all back in, we'll never see revival. You'll never see power in your life. God will never get the glory. And when you get to that judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to hear, well done, that good and faithful servant. Matter of fact, you're going to be ashamed. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth because I need to hear it and you need to hear it. Because I'm human just like you are. And we need the fire of God in this church. And I believe that Bible is still just as effective. I believe the Holy Ghost is still just as powerful. I believe God's still, His plan still is the same as it ever has been. And I believe that Jesus' blood still has just as much saving power as it had on the day of Pentecost. Amen. So, if that's the case, we need to get the power back. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to stop right there. That's as far as we're going to take it. And let's go think about that. Amen. Let's have an invitation. Father in heaven, let's stand together. Father in heaven, bless, Lord, bless the invitation. Lord, I love you. And I pray that you've used the message this night, that, Lord, that you've allowed me to preach and teach. And